What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Charles Wells, aka C Wells, the host of Swag Talk, coming at you with another edition of the Spring 2021 season recap. This week we cover the Prairie View Panthers. Before we get into all of that, we're gonna go ahead and do our little plugging and whatnot. You can go ahead and check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk. SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, Swag Talk is on YouTube, so you can check that out at Swag Talk Show on YouTube. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to the page. We're on the march to 200 subscribers. Like the video, share them, comment whenever you feel like it. I will get back and forth with you in the comments. I love to interact with everybody, so feel free to comment. Hit the notification bell to be alerted to content that I upload on my YouTube channel, so you get everything that I put up. We also have a YouTube video dropping today. We're going to cover a more condensed version of the Prairie View season. Wednesdays are our Swag Talk Time Machine episodes on YouTube, where I go back and cover old games. I'm covering a lot of Swag Championship games right now. This week, I have a special one that I'm going to do covering Prairie View's 2009 championship, but I'm also going to kind of delve into the road of that program from where they were to winning a championship. You know, that's something that I really like to talk about, so we're going to do that. And next Sunday, we'll be reviewing the Southern 2021 spring season, so I know a lot of y'all Jag fans are going to check that out. So with that being said, man, let's go ahead and hop on up into this. Let's go ahead and talk about Prairie View. The Panthers had a very abbreviated season. They only played three games on the season. Mainly, like I said, the season was basically ravaged through the COVID, so they didn't really get in a lot of action. And matter of fact, their first game of the season against Grambling was postponed because they were supposed to play Grambling in the State Fair Classic in Dallas, but that game was postponed because of that bad winter storm that came through toward the end of February because they had damage to the Cotton Bowl, so that they already was down one game. They opened up their season on March 6th in the Labor Day Classic against Texas Southern, and they won that game 20-19 in a game that Texas Southern probably by all accounts should have won, but Prairie View was able to pull it out at the end. March 13th, they played Grambling in the State Fair Classic, this time in Arlington, Texas, at Globe Life Park instead of at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Prairie View got that win 17-10. That game against Alabama A&M on April 3rd was canceled. Prairie View had COVID issues at that point, which also led to the cancellation of the April 10th game against Southern. They did get back on the field on April 17th as they played against Arkansas Pine Bluff in a game that they lost 31-36. They were short a lot of players in that game, but they still competed and had a chance to win. And then that game against Jackson State on April 24th was canceled as well. So they only got three games in. They went 2-1 on the season, 2-1 in conference, 1-0 home, 0-1 on the road, and 1-0 on neutral sites. The Panthers on the season, they finished 6th in scoring offense. They had three touchdowns in three games. They had 8 touchdowns, 4 field goals, 8 extra points, giving them 68 total points, good for 22.7 points per game. They were 2nd in the league in scoring defense. They allowed 8 touchdowns, 3 field goals, 6 extra points, and they had 1 safety, giving the opponent 65 points, good for 21.7 points per game. Total offense, Prairie View was 5th in the league. They had 305 rush yards, 795 passing yards, good for, they had, 305 rushes, 795 passes. Oh my God, I'm reading this all wrong. All right, let's try this again. They had 305 rushing yards, 795 passing yards, good for 1,100 total yards on 214 plays, 5.1 yards per play, 8 touchdowns, 366.7 yards per game. Good Lord, that was a mouthful for me to try to get out. Total defense, they were second in the league. 398 rushing yards allowed, 583 passing yards, 221 total plays, good for 981 yards, 4.4 yards per play, allowing 8 touchdowns on the season, which tied for the least in the SWAC on the year. 327 yards of offense for the opponents. Prairie View defense was actually very stingy for the most part during the season. They did have a game against Pine Bluff where they gave up a lot of yards and points, but for the other two games, they did really well. Offensively, they just never really got in the groove. Rushing offense, they were last in the league. They had 96 carries for 305 yards. They averaged 3.2 yards per rush, which was the second least amount of yards per rush in the league. 4 rushing touchdowns, 101.7 yards per game. Defense, they were fourth in rushing defense. They allowed 131 carries for 398 yards, 3 yards per carry, which is the least in the SWAC. So they had, the as far as yards per carry, they had the best defense in the SWAC. 2 touchdowns, 132.7 yards per game allowed on the ground. Passing offense, Prairie View was 60 of 118. 4 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. They completed 50.8% of their passes, 795 yards, 6.7 yards per pass, and 265 yards per game. Passing defense, they were third, 57 of 90, 63.3%, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 583 yards allowed through the air, 6.5 yards per pass, 194.3 yards per game. Passing efficiency offense, they were 8th in the league with 108.5 rating. Defensively, pass efficiency, they were 7th, 130.9 rating. Kick returns, they were 3rd in the league. They had 9 returns for 180 yards, average 20 yards per return, no touchdowns. Punt returns, they were 8th. They had 5 returns for 29 yards, 5.8 yards per return, no touchdowns. Kickoffs, they were 5th in the league. They had 16 kicks, 843 yards, average of 52.7 yards per kick. They allowed 184 yards on returns. They had 2 touchbacks, giving them a net average of 38.1 yards per kickoff. Field goals, they were 2nd in the league. Well, they were actually tied for 1st. They were 4 for 4 for 100%. Extra points, they were 8 for 8, 100%, also tied for 1st. Punting, they were 8th in the league. They had 11 punts for 330 yards, average 30 yards per punt. They allowed 47 yards on returns, 4.3 yard return average, and no touchbacks. They did have 1 punt fair caught. They had a net average of 25.7 yards per punt. Defensively, Prairie View allowed 9 sacks on the season for a loss of 71 yards, which was 5th in the league. They had 10 sacks in the league, which was 5th, 74 yards lost. Interceptions, Prairie View was 5th in the league as well with 4 interceptions, returned for 23 yards, giving them an average of 5.8 yards per return. Conversions, Prairie View had 20 first downs rushing, 34 passing, 6 by penalty. Good for 60 first downs. That's an average of 20 per game. That was 5th in the league. That was 5th in the league. They were 1st in the league in opponent first downs, 21 rushing first downs, 25 passing first downs, 6 by penalties. Good for 52 total first downs, an average of 17.3 first downs per game. Third down conversions, they were 5th. They were 17 of 43 for 39.5%. Defensively, on third down conversions, they were 18 of 49, 36.6%. So they were kind of middle of the pack in both of those stats. And when you have an offense that's not very consistent, you're not going to be able to move the ball very well. And defensively, they did a decent job of getting stops when they needed to. I really feel like that last game against Pine Bluff skewed their statistics a whole lot, because the other two games, they didn't really give up much. Fourth down conversions, Prairie View was fourth. They were 4 for 8 for 50%. Defensively, they allowed 3 of 6 on third on fourth downs for 50% as well. That was 6th in the league. Penalties, this is something that Prairie View has struggled with in most years. They were 7th in the league in penalties. They had 24 penalties for 220 yards. That's 73.3 yards per game. And if you look at that number, that number is, when you consider the amount of games they played, 73 yards per game in penalties, compared to Alabama A&M, who had 80 yards per game in penalties, but they had 4 games. Pine Bluff had 5 games and 87 yards per penalty. So they still were heavily penalized, even in a short season. That's something that they just can't get out of their own way with. Opponent penalties, they were 5th, 22 penalties for 197 yards, 65.7 yards per penalty, per game, Time of possession, Prairie View led the league with an average of 33 minutes and 49 seconds. We take a look at some of the individual statistics. Trezon Connolly was the leading rusher. He had 26 carries for 112 yards, 4.3 yards per carry. Long of 44 and no touchdowns. He averaged 37.3 yards per game. Christian Mosley, 29 carries, 100 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, one touchdown, 23 yards of his long, average of 50 yards per game. TJ Starks, 16 carries, 57 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 16, 19 yard per game average. Ahmad Antoine, 9 carries for 28 yards, 3.1 yards per carry, one touchdown, longer 12, 14 yards per game. Tony Mullins, 10 carries for 0.5 yards per carry, one touchdown, longer 7, 2.5 yards per game. And one thing about that number, about this rushing attack, is if you look at it, the two of the top rushers on the season with quarterbacks. Mosley was the only Mosley and Antoine were the only running backs who really had any extensive amount of carries. Tony Mullins is a wide receiver. He had 10 carries on the season, so he actually had more carries than that second string running back. And both of their quarterbacks had almost as many carries as their leading rusher as a quarterback, as a running back. So the rushing attack was just not there this year. And, that's a byproduct of losing a guy like DeJuanje Tucker, who was, a do-it-all type of back. And Jalen Morton, also a quarterback, he was a dual threat as well. So they were definitely replacing weapons on their offense. And, a spring season kind of magnified those issues. The fact that they ran for 3.2 yards per carry means that they didn't have a lot of success. And 44 yards was their longest run on the season, 23 was the second longest. Not very many explosive runs. And most people categorize explosive plays as runs at least 15 yards or longer. So if you look at it that way, they only had 3 explosive runs, 16 yards, 23 yards, and 44 yards. And 2 of those 3 came from quarterbacks. So not much production from the running back. So that's definitely something that's going to have to be worked out as they move forward. Passing, Connolly, he had 119.27 rating. He was 42 of 80, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 52.5% completion, 574 yards. His long was 60, 191.3 yards per game. TJ Starks, 85.6 rating, quarterback rating, 18 of 38. 47.3%. He had no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 221 yards, 34 yards with his long, 73.6 yards per game passing for him. Receiving, again, they had more big plays once we look at the longest play for the team. They had more explosive passing plays, but they still didn't have any attacks even remotely similar to what they normally would do. Chris Johnson was the leading receiver. He had 7 catches for 139 yards, 19.8 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. His long was 60, 46.3 yards per game. Tony Mullins, 11 catches, 128 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, no touchdowns, long of 27, 64 yards per game. Travis O'Connor, 12 catches, 122 yards, 10.1 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 35, 40.6 yards per game. Christopher Simmons, 5 catches, 120 yards, 24 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 45, 40 yards per game. Kalen Riles, 7 catches, 98 yards, 14 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 28, 32.67 yards per game. Kobe Washington, 6 catches, 67 yards, 11.1 yard per catch, 24 yards was his long, 33.5 yards per game. DeJon Jones, 1 catch for 4 yards, 4 yard average, 1.33 yards per game. Christian Mosley, 1 catch for 3 yards, 1.5 yards per game. So they spread the ball around pretty much. O'Connor and Mullins were the only two guys with double digit catches. The bulk of their guys had at least 4 catches. So they did spread the ball around. They had a couple deep threats that they could hit, you know, on big plays. They had long plays of 60 and 45 yards as two of their longest plays, 35 and 34 as well. So they definitely did a better job with going down the field in the passing attack. Their biggest problem was turnovers in the passing game. Throwing interceptions. They had 6 interceptions on the season and only 4 touchdowns. And that's, you know, you can't do that. You know, that's something that's gonna kind of slow you up as an offense if you turn the ball over and you're not scoring. So that's something they're gonna have to find that identity on offense. I think the spring, even though it was abbreviated, it gave them an opportunity to see what they had and figure out. We'll go more in depth into some of the personnel issues and additions that they had, but in our season preview. So they did add a quarterback. I will say that Alabama State quarterback Chris Scott transferred in, so he's going to be in the mix of that quarterback battle. He didn't get a lot of reps at Alabama State in his career, so we'll see if he can, you know, if he can do anything in that quarterback room. Now, defensively, this defense was very, very solid, and they were very aggressive, and they leaned more on that defense this year, and more than they did in most years. But they had some very good guys like Story Jackson, who led the team in tackles. He had 50 tackles on the season. He was an All-American. He had 30 more tackles than the second guy, Jason Dumas, who was a beast on the defensive line. He had 20 tackles. Troy James, 19 tackles. Bryce Turner, 19 tackles. Shelvin Hudson, 17. Reggie Stubblefield, 16. Jesse Evans, 14. Drake Cheatham, 12. Treshawn Smith, 12. Jalen Harris, 10. Desmond Obi, 10. Tariq Molemore, 10. Darius Campbell, 8. Kevin Victorian, 8. Darius Hawkins, 6. Shaheed Reese, 6. Dante Carter, 5. Dylan Dyer, 5. And, this defense returned the bulk of their guys from 2019, so they had that continuity. And they definitely are a team who plays very well behind the line of scrimmage. Story Jackson, 8.5 tackles for loss. Dumas, 7.5. Evans, 4. James and Stubblefield each had 3 tackles for loss. Smith, 2.5 tackles for loss. Hudson, 2 tackles for loss. Obi, 2 tackles for loss. Turner, 1 tackle for loss. Harris, 1. Victorian, 1. Hawkins, 1. Carter, 1. Jordan Williams had a half a tackle for loss, giving them 38 tackles for loss on the season. The opponents had 29. Sacks, their leading sack man was Jason Dumas. Again, as I said, three sacks on the season. He's a beast on the offensive line. He's a Louisiana guy. Definitely going to get after you. Story Jackson, two tackles for loss. I mean, two sacks, excuse me. Evans, 1.5 sacks. James, 1. Obi, 1. And Victorian, 1. Stubblefield, 0.5 a sack. Giving them 10 on the season. They allowed 9. Interceptions were by Story Jackson, Stubblefield, Harris, and Campbell. They each had 1. And, you know, like I said, Story Jackson, probably, to me, he was probably the best linebacker in the conference this year. Was all over the field. Definitely was a playmaker. He hit the transfer portal. He's at Liberty now. So that's a huge hole that the defense is going to have to fill. Reggie Stubblefield was a really good cornerback. He hit the portal. He's at Kansas State. He said he was going to Kansas State. Then he said he was going to declare for the draft. And then I think he went back to Kansas State. So not 100% sure on his situation, but he did leave Prairie View. So that's two holes on two different levels of your defense that are going to have to be filled. They do have talent still in the secondary, guys like Jalen Harris, Trayshawn Smith, who's a linebacker, safety type of guy, Mo Moore, who's a defensive back, Drake Cheatham. You know, they do have some talent still there, and with a guy like Jason Dumas anchoring in the middle of that defense, you're still going to be solid. But they have some holes to fill on defense. And this season obviously didn't go the way that they wanted as far as getting games in. They did win 2 out of 3, so that's at least something that you can hang your hat on. But the two that they won were more defensive type of games because the offense hadn't really clicked. The Pine Bluff game, they played better offensively, and the defense wasn't really there. And it just, you know, one of those games where they just couldn't kind of get out of their own way. Because they lack running backs in that Pine Bluff game, so they didn't really have a great rushing attack. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on at Prairie View in the fall. Coach Dooley is you know, established there, but I know a lot of people not very happy with what he's done there. They've had some really good teams, especially offensively, the last couple of years, and did not have anything really to show for it. Put some pressure on. I will say he probably is one of those guys that's on the hot seat. I'm not saying he's going to be fired, but I do think there's more attention will be on him. Joining Project Favre from Grambling, who is a guy who a lot of people think is on the hot seat. So Prairie View definitely is going to be a team to watch out for in the fall. Not so much because I think they're going to challenge for championships, but because I think that they have talent. And Prairie View built their program to be a division contender, but with a team like Alcorn coming in, now everybody kind of slides down one spot. So if you a perennial second or third place team in the division, you're now sliding down to third or fourth place. So the division, the West Division, is gonna be wide open. It probably won't be as much of a bloodbath as the East predicts to be. But, you know, adding a team like Alcorn is definitely going to make the West Division tough because you adding a team who knows how to win and who has won. And, you know, they are familiar with playing everybody anyway because they play Alcorn, Grambling. I mean, they play Grambling, Southern, and Prairie View pretty much every year or every couple of years in Prairie View case. So they're used to playing these teams. So they'll be familiar. It won't be anything like, you know, like if Alabama State came over, you know, teams that don't play each other quite often. But so it's going to be interesting to see what Prairie View does, how they adapt. And if they can get that offense on track, and they do have, like I said, two huge holes to fill on defense. So we'll talk about that more in our fall season preview. That's going to do it for today's episode. Once again, we'll be back on Sunday with another podcast where we talk about Southern and recap their spring season. Wednesday, we have our Swag Talk Time Machine episode focusing on Prairie View 2009 championship and just basically the road from where they were in the early 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s to now, and just, you know, kind of the scope of how their program has turned around and you know, they're always on the cusp of being in the mix, but they don't quite get there. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm Charles Wells signing out, and I'll holler at you on the rebound.